The idea of being a conscious Christian is really interesting, the suggestion Uspensky makes. A Christian. It's very hard to think of the holy wars and at the same time be a conscious Christian. Now, the question of how fast you can let it all happen, once you have sensed or touched or tasted of a possibility of, I guess, what you could call the spirit or another state of consciousness or another frequency of reception or see, at first you don't know any better, and so all kinds of different information is coming in, and you don't know which information is which, and then you're surrounded by a whole system, a culture, an environment, parents who are socializing agents, they're called in science, teachers, newspapers, news media, they all tell you how it all is, so that when you draw a horse that has five legs on it, somebody says, no, dear. Here, try this fresh sheet of paper. See if you can do better. Now, look carefully. Maybe you saw a horse with five legs. So then pretty soon, you have learned so efficiently how it all is. The program is in so well that you cannot not see it that way. You cannot see it differently. You're not able to break your set, it's called. You have a set to see it that way. It's like in the Second World War when the troops were going to Japan on the ships, they would show films of Japanese committing atrocities in order to fire up the servicemen to want to kill the Japanese. So then a guy would go and he would kill the Japanese. Now the question is, if he really bought into that model and then he killed in support of that model, therefore strengthening that model, how does he handle when the war is over and suddenly now the Japanese are our allies? How quickly is a human being able to make that adaptation to entertain a model other than the model that he started with? When is a person able to be flexible and when aren't they as to possibilities? It's like somebody goes out and comes back and says, the world isn't flat. Like everybody thought. The maps are all wrong. Have you recently read any of the biographies or the history of the major breakthroughs of Pasteur, what they did to Pasteur, of Freud, of any of those people? When the anthropocentric view of the universe was changed to the heliocentric view? Every major change, every major breakthrough always was rejected, of course. The automobile, airplane, it'll never fly. Come on, you know it'll never fly. Silly Wright brothers. Those kids in that field, they're going to kill themselves, that stupid thing. It's important that you wash your hands and use sterile gloves before operating. Well, now, that's silly. I've been operating for years, and no germs have come from me. But you can't see them. Well, if I can't see them, I'll tell you. I'm just not interested in them. How many is a minion? How many is enough? How many is enough for it to happen? How many is enough for it to happen? If you see a flying saucer and you say, there's a flying saucer, everybody says, you're nuts. Two of us see a flying saucer, are we still nuts? Well, if one of them happens to be a lieutenant in the Air Force, well, we'll give him a leave of absence, rest cure. He's not exactly nuts, but see, while if you happen to be a fringy, you're nuts. I mean, if I saw anything strange in the society, nobody would ever believe it. Be no chance at all. My credibility rating in this society is very low. It has to be. Took too many drugs. Can't trust what he sees. But let's say I experience something, and it's so valid and it's so real to me that even when you say to me, you're wrong and you really didn't see it, you can't convince me because I feel I saw it. Very few of the people who saw flying saucers were able to be convinced that they didn't see flying saucers. Very hard thing to do to convince somebody they didn't see it. Just swamp gas. Didn't look like swamp gas to me. The head of the Air Force said it is swamp gas. Well, then I guess I must have seen it wrong. It must be swamp gas. Nobody said that. Most of them said, well, I don't care what the head of the Air Force said. It was a flying saucer, you know. Some of them even said, and they came down and talked to me. Well, now, come now. And they were this high, and they had, you know, well, how far you go? Where did we lose you? Where did we lose you along the way? See, when I was socialized to learn how it was all supposed to be in the world, that horses had four legs and that this is the way it is, I learned that this is the way it is because I was told by somebody else this is the way it is. And out of all the possibilities of how it could be, I bought into that and accepted that on the basis of that person told me this is the way it is. And that's a trustworthy person because it's a mother and it's big and it knows and it feeds me and it loves me and it must know because it's all wise and all knowing and all loving. And then the mother becomes the school, and the school becomes the university, and the university become the books. And it's all the mother. It's all telling me how it is. And I'm learning how it all is, and I'm doing how I'm supposed to do in view of the fact of how it all is. And it's like trying to do something where the ends don't quite always come, they don't keep coming together quite right, and you keep making believe they come together. Of course they come together, because that's the way it's supposed to be. Doesn't quite make it, but there's nothing to do about it because that's the way it all is. Now come a series of experiences, and as a result of a series of experiences, there is the feeling. It's not that way, it's this way. It's a little different than I was told it was, and I see it's this way directly. Not because I'm told, but I see it. I feel it, I sense it, I intuit it. I don't just see it with my eyes, I intuit it. I intuit this is the way it is. It's not that way at all. And then everybody says to me, you're wrong. Now, they can't say, see, this is the funny thing, they can't say you're wrong, you didn't intuit it. I say, I just experienced that Buddha was standing right here. And they say, you're wrong. Now, at what level can they say you're wrong? They can't say, you're wrong, you didn't experience that Buddha's standing right here. All they can say is, you're wrong, Buddha wasn't standing right here, which means I didn't see Buddha. Now, at this point, you've had one experience, I've had another experience. There's all we know. I see Buddha and you don't see Buddha. Here we are, two guys, and we have two experiences. So we call in a third guy and we say, is Buddha standing there? And the guy says, no. Now we have science. That's what science is. Science is a group of guys who agree Buddha isn't there. Well, I don't mean to say it quite as, or they agree that something is there, or whatever it is, they agree. It's an agreement. It's consensus. It's consensus by everybody who was taught by my mother. That's really what it is. Boils down to. It's a closed system. It's like the emperor's new clothes. All the followers of the emperor walks down the street naked, but all the people say, oh, beautiful clothes, beautiful clothes, beautiful clothes. Everybody's part of the game. Nobody sees Buddha. Now, I continue to see Buddha there. Now, what do I do? Do I say, I've got a number of choices. I've got a set of options at this point. Multiple choice. I do not see Buddha. Still there. That one doesn't work too well. What are my other options? I'm crazy. I will go to one of you who doesn't see Buddha, and you will help convince me that I am not seeing Buddha. Right? And if I don't go, you'll take me, so that's also an option. I demand another option. I demand that you see Buddha. Oh, boy, that one's a bad one. That's turning over the temples and the tables and the temple. The temples and the table. I continue to see Buddha, but I cool it. You don't see Buddha, great. I see Buddha, fine. I don't demand you see Buddha. Let me see Buddha. I mean, I'm a good guy. I'm not hurting anybody, but I see Buddha. We'll call me eccentric. He tends to see Buddha. The The English are great at that. They have a whole category of people in England called eccentrics. And they're really far out people. I mean, they live in all kinds of realms. So now here I am, I'm seeing Buddha, and you are not. And Buddha's a really far out guy. He's all luminous, and light comes out of him, and he knows how it all is. Did you ever have a friend like that, who's all luminous, and he knows how it all is? I mean, it's really a groovy friend to have. See? Make a friend of Jesus, the song says. But if you try doing it, it's another matter. Who do you hang out with? I hang out with Jesus. Well, you don't mean that literally. Yes, I mean it literally. Doesn't the song say make a friend of Jesus? Yes, but it doesn't. Oh. See, I've cooled it a great deal because the fact of the matter is, and this is as straight as I can say it, that much of the time I hang out with Maharaji. I hang out with my guru. And I talk to him, and I feel the presence, and I feel messages coming from him, and I feel his presence, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's there. But I just generally don't go around saying this. Because when you resonate it against other people's consciousness, it comes back. Watch it, watch it, watch it. Very interesting, very interesting. Yes, yes, yes. Rather peculiar, don't you think? He's only giving us a metaphor. Seems like a rational guy. And I'm suggesting to you that the reason you can't hang out with some of these other guys, these luminous beings, is because you don't accept the possibility that anything else could exist other than what you were told exists. Sometimes it's called the rigidity of thought is sometimes called functional fixedness. Do you ever have like you got a hammer sitting in the room? And you've been hammering nails, and there's a hammer, and what you really at this point need is a weight to put at the bottom of a string that uses a pendulum. And you look all around the room, and you decide there is none in the room. And so you don't have something to put on the bottom of the pendulum. Because you couldn't break your set of seeing the hammer as something to hammer nails with to realize the hammer is something you could tie at the end of the string and use as the pendulum. Wait.
Blake called them. Said mind-forged manacles.
Mind-forged
manacles.
Manacles. Mind-forged manacles. Now, the difference is that I'm not saying to anybody else what they should see. I'm only saying that there are devices that each human being can go through whereby they are able to even momentarily extricate themselves from a fixed way of seeing it to entertain experientially within them other possibilities. And then they can decide whether all these possibilities are a hoax or not. How can another person decide my experience is a hallucination or phony? Because they say, because I don't see it and I see reality. I don't see it and I see reality. See, the reason wars are fought is because two guys have two different realities. believe me, that the North Chinese, the North Vietnamese, and the Chinese don't sit around saying, ah, we're bad guys. And we don't sit around saying, we're dirty Western imperialists. See, traditions are very strong. Perceptual traditions are very strong. If you've always seen it a certain way, and your parents have always seen it a certain way, it's very hard for you to conceive that it might not be that way. It might not be that way. And when you experience that it isn't quite that way, what you tend to do is to reject that experience first, if you possibly can, because it isn't consistent with what you've always been taught. I was very ready after my first experiences of other states of consciousness to reject them. Every time somebody said to me, you did nothing but hallucinate, I said, that's right, that must have been it. I did nothing but hallucinate.